శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం దేవోతి ఇస్ ఆస్కింగ్ అ వెరీ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ క్వశ్చన్ టు హర్ సన్ అండ్ గురు కపిల. అకర్తు కర్మ బంధోయం పురుషస్య యదాశ్రయ గుణేషు సత్సు ప్రకృతే కైవల్యం తేషు అతః కథం. The meaning of this verse is, she is calling the Jivatma as Akartu. Akartu means a non-doer or non-performer of action. Although the Jiva is a non-performer of action, still karma bandhoyam. He gets trapped in the karma bandhana, although he is a non-performer of action. Akartu, karma bandhoyam. పురుషస్య యద్ ఆశ్రయ ద జీవా ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ద టైనీ పురుష యద్ ఆశ్రయ ద మెటీరియల్ బాడీ ఆర్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ ఇన్ విచ్ హీ హాస్ టేకన్ షెల్టర్ ఇన్ దట్ హీ గెట్స్ ఎంటాంగిల్డ్ ఇన్ కర్మ బంధన. గుణేషు సత్సు ప్రకృతే షీ సేస్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ సత్వగుణ రజగుణ తమగుణ సత్సు మీన్స్ దే ఆర్ రియల్ and they now one may ask if the jiva is not acting then who is acting. She is saying the jiva is practically passive and the three gunas are kicking him like a football from one circumstance to another circumstance, from one family to another family, or even in the same family when one is living, the jiva is being kicked like a football. And so she says guneshu satya prakriti. The active agent is the three modes, not the jiva. The jiva is practically passive, being slapped and whipped by the three modes of material nature. Kaivalyam teshu atah katam. How can one attain liberation from such a situation, my dear Lord? She is asking. Because I don't want to act in three gunas, but the three gunas are forcing me to act in certain ways. And they cost me repeated bondage, punya karma, papa karma and all that. And in order to reap the fruits of punya and papa karma, I have to be born again and again. And the cycle goes on and on. Then where is the question of liberation for me from this world? This very purpose is a very intelligent question. You want to understand this question. Sometimes in Bhagavatam purports, purpose is Parikshit Maharaj. The question itself is so sweet. He says, simply we can have one full class on understanding the question only. Forget about the answer. The questions are so wonderful. You want to understand this question. So basically her question is that the jiva is an undoer. Why she is calling him as an undoer? In material consciousness, prakriti kriyamana ani. The material nature simply whips us and batters us in the waves of samsara. Using the three gunas, and the jiva practically lying on the lap of the witch of Maya, thinking I am great, I am big and everything, but actually he is simply a victim of the three modes of material nature. And what is the cause of this situation? Because the jiva has forgotten Krishna. Krishna bhuli gela, Jagannatha Ramakrishna said. So result of forgetting Krishna is this, that one is being battered by the three modes. And it seems that there is no respite, there is no end for the living being. He will do more punya, more papa and more suffering in this world. And it appears like an endless cycle. But Prabhupada writes that this question indirectly indicates to the need of surrender to Guru and Krishna. Because only by such surrender can one be uplifted from this ocean of samsara. There is no other way. That is why Krishna first says about Maya, Mama Maya, Rakteya. If one takes only Maya very, very seriously and finds that there is no hope, then one will become a psychosomatic patient. One will become a psychiatric patient. Because Maya is so powerful. We are all in the grip of Maya in the material world. But then Krishna gives a hope in the next verse. Mami viye prapadyante. If one takes Krishna very seriously and Maya very lightly, then he can become a Sahajya. That is the Prabhupada wanted in our movement, to take both Maya seriously and Krishna seriously, both. Then there is a balance in life. So here we find Devahuti is taking Maya very seriously, and three gunas very seriously, and she is feeling great despondency in her heart. And Kapila is telling her that it is only possible by surrender. The jiva does not act. The jiva acts by expressing his desires. For example, the man can be counted as ekadashendriya. When he goes into the zone of indriya gochara, Krishna talks about this. Indriyanam hi charatam. What is charatam? He's grazing. So then he is counted as ekadashendriya. That means the 11th indriya in the body. Then he completely gets entangled in the tabernacle of the material existence by permeating into the material existence foolishly. Or the mind can be withdrawn from the external world and dissolved in the chitta. Then one can become mat chitta, mat gata prana, bodhayanta parasparam, kadayanta samam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So one can be counted along with the material elements, or it can be counted along with the spiritual. So when one does manmanama mad bhakto, or madchitta madhyata prana, then man is not called as man anymore. Then it becomes absorbed into the spiritual chitta. But the man oftentimes, as Devahuti is saying, it flows into the material world and gets entangled before it. And it almost happens automatically. Because of the misidentification of the jiva with the matter. Ya sammohito jiva atmanam. So she is calling Kapila with various names. Svabritya samsara taro kutharam. She is saying, oh my dear Lord, you are like the axe with which one can cut the urdhamoolam alashakam tree. Which is mentioned in the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter. Svabritya samsara taro kutharam. You are the kutharam, or the axe with which the material existence can be cut. So where is that asanga shastra and dridhena chitva? That asanga shastra is available with the guru. The weapon of detachment, the weapon of knowledge with which detachment can be produced by cutting the tree of material existence which is standing upside down. So she is telling, you are that axe, my guru, who can help me cut these three bones and rise above. Also she is saying, tasya tvam tamasundasya dushparasya adhyaparagam sachakshur janmanavante labdham me tudanukrahar. Oh my dear spiritual master, I have obtained you in my life. I am like a blind person who is wandering in this material world of darkness. Material world is dark and I am also blind. So double darkness. So in this way I am suffering in this world. I'm moving here and there, not knowing, being battered in the waves of three modes like the football. But you are like the transcendental eye. Chakshudan dilojai. Satchakshu janmanamante labdhamme tadanukraha. In this way, she also says, in that verse, tasyatvam, one more verse she says, Medavindanidarambhoman asad indriya darshana kena sambhavimanena prapannantam tamah prabhu tasyattvam tamasandasya dushparasya adhyaparagam. Paragam means a boat. My dear spiritual master, you are the boat by which one can cross over the samsara and go from the material world to the spiritual world. So these three examples she gives, beautiful examples. The axe with which to cut the upside down tree of material existence, the transcendental eye which is bestowed by the guru to the disciple to see the world as it is, and the boat with which to go from material world to spiritual world. These are beautiful, simple, easy to understand examples given by the devotees here about the role played by the spiritual master in the life of the disciple. So for going from outward to inward, for not letting the mind wander here and there in this world. Rather, one should want to withdraw it and focus it on Ishvara Pranidhana, and this means to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should have a desire, and that desire is given a shape by the spiritual master. First, one should have a desire, and the desire could be made possible to be executed by the will, by the strength given by the spiritual master. Because our will is a very weak will, very vulnerable will, that is subjected to the temptations in the material world. We can be very easily slapped and battered in the waves of samsara. But Guru's will is a strong will, supported by Balaramji. So, the purpose of initiation is to place our tiny finger at the lotus feet of the spiritual master and beg him for spiritual strength with which the spiritual master, by his instructions, by his blessings and guidance and mercy, he occupies the heart of the disciple and predominates the life and the heart and the mind of the disciple in such a way that the weak will of the disciple becomes a strong will. And then the man will not be counted as Ekadashi Indriya anymore. It will be called as a chitta, that is absorbed in Krishna always. So the meaning of a disciple means a disciple has no business other than Guru's mission. Only business of a disciple, whether one is a grihastha, one is a brahmachari, or a sannyasi, or vanaprastha, whoever one be. As soon as a disciple has a business independent of Guru's business, that paves way to Maya in this world. So a disciple who has surrendered his free will to Guru with the desire to uplift his consciousness and completely offer it to Krishna, such a disciple only can go back home, back to Godhead. And Guru uses the tool. What is the tool he uses to extricate the living entity or uplift the living entity from Maya and lift him up to the spiritual world? That is the chanting of the holy name. Divyam Jnanam Yathodar Kuryar Papasya Samshayam. So he gives the Divya Jnana, and the Divya Jnana is awakened in the heart of the disciple over a period of time, which is called Sambandha Jnana. And the Jnana becomes Vijnana by chanting of the holy name. Because without the... Actually, the processes pranayama, asana and pratyahara, they are called as vijnana. But beyond that, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, they are called as prajna. Prajna means spiritual realization. So, one can also get vijnana, but spiritual advancement is made only by the chanting of the holy name. There may be many processes to remove the anartha. But amongst all the different processes mentioned, many are very fallible processes mentioned in even the Bhagavatam meant for the jnanis. Tapasa, brahmacharyena, shamena, damena, dhyayena, sattvishochabhyanya, mena, niyamena, all that. Dehavad, buddhijan, dhira, dharma, gyasha, dhyanita, kshipanti, agham, mahatapi, venubulma, mivana. It's like cutting a grass in the top, trimming it, and leaving the root of the prison. But chanting of the holy name can uproot the tree. The Bhagavata Dharma, which emphasizes on the chanting of the holy name towards the end of Bhagavata, that only can do Tapatravan Mulana. Tapatravan Mulana means it can jettison the Rajasattva. It can uproot the samsara completely. And of course, a disciple gets the holy name even before taking Diksha from the Guru. Because Guru is first accepted in the heart. And then there is a formal procedure of the Diksha program. So anyone who chants the holy name sincerely, even if he hasn't taken Diksha, surely he gets immense benefit. But Diksha is a confirmation by the disciple that I am not considering to surrender to you, I am surrendering to you. I am not just thinking of, or I am not in two minds. I am only one mind. I am just giving myself to you completely. So in this way, when a disciple on the day of Diksha, the way he surrenders, whatever attitude with which he surrenders, that will decide his subsequent advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because so many people have taken Diksha, and so many people have gone away, or so many have stayed, or so many have stayed very strong, and so many have grown to leaps and bounds in spiritual life. Why everyone takes at the same time? But different people have different effect. The reason is very simple. That is, Devahuti is explaining how the jiva, he may be apparently like a football in the hands of three modes of material nature. But jiva has one very special ability. He can say yes or no to Krishna. As soon as the jiva says yes to Krishna, no to Maya, Maya cannot touch him. Just like the eagle, it comes flying down and captures the fish and flies off, isn't it? How could the eagle capture the fish? Because the fish was, you know, on the surface of the water. Similarly, those who don't go deep in spiritual life, those who are practicing spiritual life superficially, they are probable victims of Maya. But Maya can very easily capture them. And many have been captured and taken away. We all have experience in this world. The fishes which drown deeper into the waters and remain satisfied in the innermost recesses of the waters, and they don't come out to do some sightseeing outside the waters. You know, they are very safe. Similarly, Yonta Sukontara Aramas, Krishna also says that. One who is satisfied in spiritual life alone, such a person is very safe. Because eagle may come, but eagle cannot catch, because fish has gone deep into the water. So the disciple should surrender the free will to Guru and make one's life predominantly spiritual. Maximize Krishna time, minimize Maya time. Or nullify Maya's time eventually. In this way, this is the only way a disciple can offer the free will to Guru. And then chanting the holy name should be done with utmost sincerity. And chanting, the purpose is 90% of our progress comes from chanting. Because chanting is done with attention. Sometimes I see devotees are walking and chanting. It's not a problem. You can walk and chant. But I find that sometimes they stand here and they think like this. They look here, look there. They get distracted, I feel, when I look at some of them. Because some people's mind works very fast. And when they walk, it works even more faster. Actually, such chanting would be very ineffective. You try to sit in one place and force your mind to hear, capture the neck of the mind and engage in the holy name. We have to engage it. Unless we struggle to pay attention to audience, to the hearing of the holy name, we cannot purify this nasty mind. The mind is dushtaman. So the dushtaman can never be purified. It's very, very difficult. If you want to uplift the mind to the sattva-guna, three quadrants of sattva, if you want, we have to make the mind hear the holy name very attentively. If you wander away, then it's like just the gun, the bullet comes to the target, it goes away. It doesn't hit the target. If you have to really hit the target, anathanavritti will take place only by intense chanting. Today is a very auspicious day. This is Holy Ranasana Maharaj is giving initiation to how many devotees? 137 devotees. Although there are 370 devotees in the list. So those who are taking, they are fortunate, and those who are waiting are also fortunate. And they will be rendered fully fortunate eventually for a bit of time. If any of your names is not in the list and you are made to wait, don't cry. The right time will come when Kunjabari will bestow his mercy upon you. And everyone should be patient. And those who are taking initiation, take the shelter very seriously. Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, many others took sannyas from Bhaksana Saraswati. But Prabhupada, you can see how, what Prabhupada did. Because he took the shelter very seriously. So, and people like me, myself, when I sit on the initiation day, yajna, and watch it, immediately I am reminded of our days of initiation when we were initiated. It's an opportunity to recommit ourselves. Because I have become so slack in my spiritual life. So, Dila Dala, now by seeing the other devotees honestly committing in front of Guru, I can recommit myself. Again, I can remember, oh, I have given so much vachan to my Guru, I haven't done anything. Let me do something. Harinam Prabhu ki.